Morning, everyone. Hope you're all right. So this morning we're looking at week four of the Transform Life series. So the title of the today is Live in Love and Light. So if we're gonna start by reading the passage that it's based on, which should come up on the screen. Let's read. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. For everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Let's pray. Dear Lord and Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that your presence is with us. Lord, we just pray that I will bring your word, Father. Father, may we all be changed. May we all see something new of you. May we see something of your glory and your love and your peace and your wisdom. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. So last week, Claire was talking about the old and the new self. So she was talking, she had two jackets. So there was the old self with all its vices, and the new self with all its vices, and goodness and love and all those things that come with it. So the start of chapter 5 basically summarizes, for me, the key points of that. It basically comes to the conclusion, it says, imitate God then, as dearly loved children. As a child, you imitate your parents. And some of those things are good and some of them are bad. My dad, for example, taught me to be kind and generous, and he seems to have helped half the people I know with their IT problems. But he also has an incredible tendency to find everything he possibly can to bump his head on. And for some reason, I seem to have managed to acquire that, and now I've started bumping my head on things. I didn't even know that was something you could physically teach, but apparently it is. But the difference with God is that he's perfect. So if you spend time with God in his presence, you will become more perfect. I'm slightly hoping that he's also going to teach me a greater sense of spatial awareness. Unfortunately, it seems to be getting worse, if anything. The next part of the passage just tells us, it's a statement, but it's so incredible. And it's a one statement, it says, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Christ loved us enough to leave the presence of his Father, who he'd spent eternity with in peace, love, joy, harmony, total oneness. He loved us enough to become a weak and vulnerable child on earth. God of the universe became a child. He loved us enough to stand up on that cross, well, not stand up on it, but to go up on the cross and take the punishment for our sins. It's an incredible statement to say to love as Christ loved us. Can we love perfectly as Christ loved us? No, not by any means. But we can let Christ's love change us so that we become more loving like Christ. As we imitate God, we can love more completely. So again, we're imitating what God has already done. He loved us completely, and we're just following in that. Paul's next part of the passage, he goes on to talking about various things. And he starts by talking about that we should not even consider the old way of life in any positive frame of mind. Before we were Christians, before you were Christians, you lived a different way. And he's saying we shouldn't think about that positively. In this passage, he focuses particularly on sexual sin. It was particularly a problem in Ephesus and other places around that area. It was quite a liberal society in many ways, and it's a major issue today. In this passage, he talks about sex outside of marriage. He talks about lusts. And he talks about greed, which again, in the context of the passage, is probably talking about sexual greed. A greed for, well, yeah, that. But it's obviously not exclusively linked to that. And Paul then goes on to say that the reason for not doing these things is simply because it's improper for God's people. He's basically saying it's not God's way. They're not the way of love. You know, sin invariably causes harm, whether it's physical, mental, or spiritual. If we're talking about sexual sin, we might be talking about comparisons with previous partners. We might be talking about cheapening the gift. So many different things that happen, but that's not the whole focus of Paul's message, but it's just he picks on a particular problem. The thing is, if we allow ourselves to dwell upon sin, we increase the chance of heading down that road. You see, if I tell you not to think about the elephant, inevitably you do, especially if I put it up on the screen. You see, sin seizes the opportunity that we afford it in our minds. If we dwell upon it, it's likely to lead us down a certain path. I know I've certainly fallen into that trap. You spend ages trying not to think about something, or to think about it negatively. And invariably you end up down a road where you end up doing something that you wish you hadn't. And you can feel guilt and shame about that. Another danger is that we sometimes look back on our old life with rose-tinted glasses. We might think, oh, it wasn't that bad. Or those things weren't that bad. Or maybe even we want to do them. But the truth is, they're not healthy. We need to be captured by a better vision. God has a better plan for us. And Christians should celebrate that. If you're a Christian, we should celebrate the fact that God gifted sex to us is a good thing, but in its correct place. The passage then carries on. It goes on to crude and inappropriate language, which again is something that we probably, in fact, sometimes you're seen as more intelligent for swearing more. It's a study that was happened or something. But Paul says we should speak with thanksgiving. He says crude and inappropriate language is not the way of love. He says we should speak with thanksgiving. If we fill our words with thanks for God and thanksgiving for people, then we can't think of the former. We can't be crude. We can't be, because we're too busy doing the other. We should... Ro, my wife, for anyone who doesn't know, or Roanne, she doesn't like me introducing her as Ro. I was struck by the fact that Paul seems to be giving us the antidote. If we fix our eyes on God, we fix our eyes on praising and building people up, and not building up ourselves at the expense of others. And Claire touched on that last week. I know I personally sometimes struggle not to join in with conversations at work when they're being crude and inappropriate. Particularly if I'm already part of the group conversation when they go off down that track. And I think we need to just be aware of ourselves and our weaknesses. We need to know when it's time to walk away or when to put up healthy barriers and not to go into that situation at all. I know for me, sometimes when I hear them having conversations like that, I'm not perfect by any means, so I still do it. But I sometimes sit, if I hear them start having a conversation like that, I'll just put my head down and start working. It's not quite as easy if you're in a conversation one-on-one, that might be a bit rude. If you just sort of stop talking to them and sat down. But you might find a way of getting out of the situation or changing the conversation. The passage carries on, and it talks about how we should not be deceived by people's words. We can't suddenly believe that we can't carry on in the old way of life. We can't carry on in immorality, impurity and greed, or in a wider context, just sin. It talks about that they were not. The world around you will tell you that's okay. They'll tell you that it's normal, that everyone does it. They might even call you weird for not doing something. But we need to fix our eyes on Christ. We need to surround ourselves with people who are going to support us and help us. those who know Christ are coming to see this more clearly. We don't start off knowing everything. We don't know that everything's wrong. When you first become a Christian, you probably don't know much about what's right and wrong in God's ways. But you do come to see it more clearly. We come to see that certain ways are not the way to live. And hopefully, if we're serious about our walk with God, then we should see that more each day. One thing to note in the passage is it talks about how no one who's immoral, impure, or greedy will inherit the kingdom of God. If you commit a sin as a believer, you're not going to be forfeited from the kingdom. It's not quite like that. But you do need to turn from those things. So like if you have a thief and they commit a sin once, but then realize it's wrong and don't do it again. It's very different to someone who's a career thief, if they think that's the right way to live. But even a career thief can turn from their ways and turn to God, you see. God's love is that great. Just as an aside, we Christians can sometimes use grace as an excuse for sin. It happened in the time of the apostles, it happens now, as in Paul addressed it in Romans particularly. But that grace of God is the very reason we live differently, isn't it? Because if you've been touched by the love of God, how can you want to go back to an old life? Because God, if you know God, you know he wants the very best for you. You're not going to want to go back to something that's worse. The truth is, when you come to know Christ, you become light. Not first in what you do, but in your being. You turn from that old way of life to a new way of life. And so as a result of that, you no longer walk in the old way, but in the new. You walk in light, but you are light. And the natural result of that is that we produce good fruit. If you're walking with God, you produce fruit. You live right. You speak right. You think right. When we were darkness, we were fruitless, in the sense that we produced nothing of eternal value. You see, when you're at enmity with God, you've raised something up as an idol. So everything that you do is contrary to God's will, because what he wants most and foremost for you is to worship him. And the thing with darkness is that it doesn't matter if you focus on it, as with a dark screen, it remains darkness. You cannot rationalize with it. You cannot argue with it. It's the absence of light. It's the absence of good. In fact, the passage says that the sins committed in private are so bad that it's shameful even to mention. Now, to clarify, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't talk about it. In the right context, with the right person, someone you're trustworthy. Because you need to expose the problem. But if you focus on sin, it doesn't change it. The only way to change sin is to replace it with light. Replace it with God's way. To focus on God's way. You see, the second you put a light in there, that's the thing you focus on. And part of the way we do that is by having people around us that support us and speak God's word into our lives. One of the fundamentals of light, a bit of science, so don't switch off any of you don't like it, is that light is generated when an atom, or electron, certainly, absorb energy. When they absorb energy, it's called get excited, and then they give off light. Now, the thing is, with that, light can cause this effect to happen. So when you see something, that is something that's absorbed energy and then gives off light. So the sun obviously causes you to, as we absorb Christ's light, we give off light. It's the same with the sun. And Christ is the sun. Obviously, we don't do it perfectly. We only do it in part. We're not immediately stop sinning when we become a Christian. But our lives will slowly reflect more of Christ than when we began. And it should be noted that when you absorb energy, some of it usually is given off as heat. And sometimes heat is uncomfortable. It can be even painful. Imagine if you stand out in the sun too long. We all know what sunburn feels like. the thing with Christ light is that if that heat is generated, it's working in you a weight of glory. It's not damaging you. That pain, that trouble we go through in life isn't there to damage you. It's to build you and make you something new. God says he's working all things for your good. And in the end, you'll be something more beautiful than you could ever imagine. As I said, the change will not happen overnight. Sometimes we get tired of this, doing the same old thing again and again. But it will happen. I said earlier that I struggle sometimes to not get involved in conversations at work. But interestingly, one of the things they do tend to do is they do tend to apologize to me when they're swearing or having inappropriate conversations around me. And I think it's important that they do that, not because I'm that bothered about them doing that, but the fact is I think they recognize something different. And I need to be a lot more different, but at least they do recognize something. So the truth is, as we stand in Christ, as we come to see Christ, we become a source of light. As that light of Christ reflects off us, we reflect it back to the world. When our eyes are opened, or we awake from the dead, spiritually speaking, when we see Christ for that first time, we position ourselves to see Christ's light and the goodness that he brings. We too become light, and we can give goodness into the world. But it's only by fixing our eyes on Christ and the way he lives and the way he loves that we can do that. We don't want to focus on the old ways. We should not be distracted by the sin that we've want to commit or have committed, because darkness will always be darkness. We need to set our minds on Christ and imitate him. And we need to shine his light into every area of our lives where there's that darkness. And that one of the thoughts that I had when I was looking at this is there any area of our lives that we need to say to ourselves, wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead so Christ can shine on you? Do you think on lust? Then begin to think on thankfulness for people and pray for them. If we struggle with greed, why don't we look to Christ's generosity and copy that? Fill our mind with that. If we struggle with crude language, why don't we find things to compliment people on and to thank God for it for before his people? Or do you struggle with body image? Recognize that God made you who you are and that he looks at the inside. He looked at you and valued you enough to send his son for you. Just you. We need to let that light of Christ consume us. He's the ultimate light. He's the source of light. So that our light can shine before others as a reflection of him. If we do this, the witness that we have of walking this light and living the love of Christ will be our ultimate act of love to God and our ultimate act of love to mankind. If we reflect Christ, if we live as he lived, as best we can, that is how we love people. And if you've been sitting there thinking, I don't know how to let Christ love in, light in, or love, either way, I encourage you to talk to someone about it. Thoughts on your trust. Or our prayer team, who will be there later. And whether that's in letting his light in for the first time, opening your eyes up to him, or whether that's in a specific area of your life, God loves you. He wants the very best for you. We all need to walk in imitation of God and in the love of Christ. We need to love first our God and love our neighbors as ourselves. I'm just going to pray. Dear Lord and Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you love us so much that you came to this earth so that we could walk in relationship with you. You loved people and you cared for them. You provide for them. You gave yourself for them. Help us all, Father, to be more like that. To fix our eyes on you in your ways. To fix our eyes on the things that are good and right. And to turn from those things that were not best for us. Help us to walk in light and not focus on the darkness. In Jesus' precious name, amen.